some extended family. That was great. But before we left, I haven't been to Malurba. I've been to the general area. I don't know exactly where it is. So I looked it up on Google Maps. I worked out where I was going. I drove in that direction. Knowing where you are going in advance helps you to get there. It's a pretty obvious point. But there's more. When you go on holidays, having a vision in your mind of your upcoming holiday is inspiring. The next slide is a picture of Browley Beach, one of my favourite places to go. I want you to picture that you're in your last week of work and you're daydreaming about this three-week holiday that you've got at Browley Beach. You're thinking about the beach, you're thinking about the rock pools, you're thinking about the big chunks of nothing time. It's inspiring and it helps you to keep going. What am I on about? What about us as a church? Where are we going? That's our question for the next 3 weeks. It's a new year. We'll go to the next slide. Thanks, Karen. And over the next 3 weeks, we're exploring our vision for the next 2 years at Stromlo Christian Church. It's our 2020 vision series. And why are we doing this? Because it will help us to know where we're going. And I think it will inspire us, hopefully, with an exciting vision of what could be for our church and for this city. Now, I need to stop here, and it was really appropriate that Phil read out that verse from Proverbs, because we need to remember who is in charge, don't we? God alone knows and plans the future. As he says in Proverbs 16:9, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. See, the future is a complete mystery to us. God alone plans the future. That's so important. Now, so this vision series is in his hands. But for the last couple of years, under God, we have been humbling ourselves before him, praying for the future of our church. And we've come up with this mission and this vision, these statements, these plans for the next 2 years. It actually, if you're new or visiting, I met some newcomers this morning. If you're new with us this morning, it's actually a perfect time to be here. There must be heaps of questions in your mind when you're visiting a new church, right? Is this a place that I can belong? Am I welcome here? Can I grow here? What does this church value? What makes it tick? Can I serve? And up there would be that question of where is this church going? What's its vision? But it's not just a good time for newbies. I think it's perfect for all of us, whether we're new or regular, just to stop and take stock of where this church is heading and your role in its future. So that's what we want to do. Now, before I run you through the actual mission and vision statements, it's probably worth asking, what's the difference between a mission and a vision? I don't know if you find that confusing. People have some different ways of explaining it, some of them better than me, but this is my take. I'll go to the next slide. Thanks, Karen. A mission is about being, while a vision is about doing. In other words, our mission is about who we are. It's a statement of our identity. It's almost timeless as well. But our vision as a church is about what we want to do. Let me put it another way. We'll go to the next slide. In terms of time, a mission describes the present, while a vision describes the future. What do we want Stromlo to look like in the future? That's the kind of distinction. So that's mission and vision. We've come up with these statements to help us have a clearer idea of who we are, where we're going, help us focus, to be inspired about the important things that we want to be on about as a church. So what's our mission? I wonder if anyone can tell me. Anyone want to shout it out? Christ-centered community, disciple-making disciples in Molonglo and beyond. It's on the outline. That's who we are. That's who God has called us to be today. And there's a slide with this mission on here. In other words, if I can put it bluntly, we're Christians who want lots of people to become Christians who will in turn help others to become Christians. All of us growing together in Christ. And it's not really a new mission. Any faithful church in the world, in Canberra, Australia, in the world, throughout history, has this same mission, right? Remember Matthew 28, and the next slide has got these verses here. Jesus received all authority, and what did he do next? He called those first disciples to go and make disciples. And it's our mission too. Our wording is a little different, but that's our mission. And what about our vision? Where are we going as a church? What do we want that mission to look like in 2 years' time? If you hopped in a time machine with Doctor Who, you went to December 2020 and for some reason you landed at Charles Weston Primary, what would you see? What would you see? And this is our 1-3-1 vision. This is what we want to see. Now, the first one, we'll go to the next slide, thanks, is 100% of Molonglo relationally engaged with Stromlo. That's what we're going to look at this morning. 300 members of Stromlo. And then 100% of Stromlo members in a life group. Now, I know God is sovereign and this is ambitious and God can do what he wants. He might just scrap that and do what he likes. But who knows what God could do? I mean, just imagine with me for a second, every single resident of the Molonglo Valley, which could be 40,000 people in 20 years' time, know someone at Stromlo. They have a relationship with someone at Stromlo and they can't say a bad word about them. Or better, imagine if we had 50 baptisms of new Christians in November next year, down in the cold water at the river. Imagine if every single member of Stromlo was part of a loving small group, was being cared for, was being held accountable, was being encouraged and challenged to live for Christ, to be a disciple maker, in the rich ways that I think only really come from a small group context. Now, God's going to do what he likes, I know, but that's exciting to me. And that's our 1-3-1 vision. Now, I've spent enough time on this. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks hearing about this for the end of the year 2020. Dan, our lead pastor, will pick it up for the next 2 weeks after today when he's back on deck. Let me commit the next 3 weeks to God, though. Let's pray, and then we're going to look at some Bible. And speaking of kind of engaging, sharing life, my family life has been chaos the last few days. I'm sure some of you can relate, whether it's going back into the routines of the year or maybe you've just moved to Canberra and it's chaos. It's muggy as well this morning, so I think we need God to help us, that he would speak and that we would listen by his Spirit. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your grand plans for the world. Thank you for including us in them and for revealing it to us through your Son and your word, the Scriptures. We pray now for your Spirit to help us this morning. To help us to know where you're going as you have this grand plan to build your church, but also to be inspired by what you could do in our midst. And we pray particularly as we open your word now that you would speak and that we would listen and submit to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite Alan up now. He's going to read some verses to us. Thanks, Alan.
Reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. We're reading all of chapter 1 and part of chapter 2. Paul, Silas and Timothy. Paul, Silas and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. And then we move on to verse 7. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God became known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And then we move to chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul talking about his ministry in Thessalonica. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And it's now back to Paul to unpack that.
Thank you, Alan. All right. Another question for you. Who is someone who had a big impact on your life? Who is someone who's had a big impact on your life? Someone who engaged with you and made you who you are today? Have someone in your mind. Now think, was it only something that they said, or was it more than that? Was it their whole life? Was it their actions? Was it their very self? I was talking to a brother here at Stromlo just last Sunday about this, actually. I shared that our old youth group leaders and my old youth group leaders had an impact on me. And it was partly the things that he said. He told me the gospel, but it was more than that. It was his life. It was the way he engaged with me. He was interested in my life, this weedy little teenager. He included me in his life, at his home, with his family, at church on Sundays, on youth camps, running around paddocks, dodging cow paths, climbing up rock walls. He engaged with me. And that played a big part in me being a Christian, growing as a Christian. Why am I talking about this? Because the first part of our vision is to see 100% of the Molonglo engaged relationally with us. But why? Not just to be nice and friendly, although that's okay. Not just to have a good reputation in Molonglo, though that's important. Not even just to invite people to events, put flyers in letterboxes, though there's nothing wrong with that. Now, we're thinking big. Our vision is for every home in Molonglo to know a Christian from Stromlo, to know that they are a Christian, and to have some idea of their pattern of life. They're relationally engaged. And that's so important because I want to say this morning from the scriptures that that plays a role in people becoming a Christian and growing as a Christian. Engaging relationally is a key part of how we can be on mission. Now, all that is good and well, but is there anything like this in the Bible? Well, for the next 10, 15 minutes before I finish, I want to dig into these verses that Alan read out so well for us and then explore some implications for us. I'll try and get as practical as I can as well. In 1 Thessalonians, you would have noticed the Apostle Paul writes to first century Christians. It's a different time. It's a different setting. He's writing to Christians, but there are some principles that apply to our vision that I want to explore with you. In 2 verse 8, Paul writes that he was delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. You see what's going on? Paul engages relationally. Let's get into these verses, though. But to start, for all this talk about relational engagement, the first point is that the gospel is a message to be spoken. Paul is a gospel speaker. He's been sent by Jesus to preach a verbal message about Jesus. Have a look at how Paul describes his ministry in some of these verses. I'll just run through these really quickly. Paul says that the Christians welcomed the message. Chapter 2, verse 2. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. And then verse 4 of chapter 2. We speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Again, verse 9. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. And then verse 13. We also thank God continually because you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. And then finally, verse 16. Paul's saddened that the Jews, in their effort, have kept Paul speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. See, this Paul is a gospel speaker. That's his top job. If you're a worker, think about your job description. What's on the top of the list of things that you're responsible for? What's the most important and time-consuming task? Well, Paul's is to be a gospel speaker. Tell the gospel to others. Now, we're not Paul, we're not apostles, we don't carry his authority, but the principle at work today for us is this, that the gospel is a message to be spoken. And there's a really interesting challenge here that I feel the weight of. Evangelism is not a godly life. It's not sharing your faith with your workmates or neighbours or family members just through your lifestyle, your good deeds. And don't get me wrong, living in a godly way at uni or work is important. It stands out, it's pleasing to God, it's important. But for many of us, the idea of openly sharing the gospel in work hours on work premises might not be the wisest move. We might lose our job. But let's get real about this. Unless it is paired with the spoken gospel, it's not evangelism. Unless it leads to the verbal proclamation of the gospel, it's not evangelism. Because evangelism is nothing less than sharing the gospel message. And the message of the gospel is what saves people, not our good deeds, not our godliness, not our lifestyle. Some of us are more confident and practiced at sharing the gospel message, let alone just speaking, than others. Some of us struggle to talk about everyday things with others. I can relate to that. Let alone the most important, which also happens to be the most controversial thing in the world, spiritual things. And with people who we know hate Christianity as well. I really do get it. But if you follow Jesus, the Jesus who looked on the lost with compassion and longed for them to be saved, if you followed that Jesus, he's called you to join him in the verbal proclamation of the gospel, even if it's scary or awkward or painful. I'm aware you might want help with this. Maybe you just don't know how to do it. Maybe you just want some personal encouragement. Come door knocking with us sometime. We did some in December last year, and it actually wasn't that scary. It was really cool. It's not as scary as it sounds. That can be something that can build your confidence. Anyway, that's the first point. The gospel is a message to be spoken. If we want to see more disciple-making disciples of Jesus in Molonglo and beyond, the gospel has to actually be spoken. But I know, and you know, that it's not always that easy, that evangelistic opportunities take time, and above all, they take relational credit. That's part of why we want to relationally engage. But there's a bigger and a better reason to be doing it. Now let's see it in these verses. See, the second point is this. The gospel is more than just a message. It's the reality to be lived. Paul engages relationally with others, not just to be nice or friendly or a big softy, but to live the gospel out. See, he is a gospel engager. Let's unpack this. I'll read out verse 8 again, our theme verse for this morning. Paul says, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Do you notice the intimacy here? Paul loves these Christians. In verse 7, he calls himself a nursing mother toward them. I mean, can there be a closer relationship than that? Dependency, intimacy, vulnerability. And he engages with them relationally on that kind of level. On such a deep level that he shares his life with them. And the Greek word behind life here is not a particularly special word, but it's the same word that can be translated soul. It's a word that describes the deepest self, the seat of your deepest thoughts and desires and longings. See, Paul shares that with them. He is so vulnerable with them. Now, stepping aside here for a moment, notice, why does Paul engage with them? In fact, why do we relationally engage with others? Why should we do anything as a church or as followers of Jesus? Do you see that word there at the start? Love. It's love. Love is the answer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul describes the way that they followed his pattern of love. He calls it your labour prompted by love. As I read that, I was thinking about how relating to others at church can be really laborious. It can be labour. Maybe there's people at church who've got opinions that offend you or interests that are just really boring to you. Maybe they're just awkward. Maybe they smell funny. I don't know. Relating to others here at church can be labour. What about relating to people out there in Molonglo or at work or in your street? It takes time and energy and it's risky. What motivates you to engage with them? Well, for Paul, it's love. Gospel love. But you might be thinking, Paul, he's such a softie. He's so vulnerable. I'm not like him. Maybe you're a bloke sitting here this morning and you're thinking, nope. Leave the touchy-feely stuff for the sensies like Paul. People just need to hear the gospel, repent, and be done with it. Maybe you just aren't confident being open with others. Why should I engage relationally? Well, this gets right to the heart of these chapters. This is a key implication. It's not about changing your personality and becoming more of a softie necessarily. The implication is that we have to engage relationally with others because the gospel is the reality to be lived. Lived in community with others, with integrity, with consistency, with open honesty. And all of that lends weight to the message. And it can lead to others owning the gospel for themselves and learning to live it out like you, to imitate you. That's why Paul is a gospel engager, for the sake of the gospel. Have a look at some key verses here. I'll read these from chapter 1, verse 4. I'll read them with emphasis for you. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. Can you see there that Paul doesn't just preach the gospel? He embodies it. He lives it out. And then other Christians see that. It commends the gospel and they learn to imitate him by watching him. And chapter 2, verse 9, we see this again. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to what? Live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. I hope you can see this pattern that Paul preaches the gospel, he lives the gospel with integrity and openness, and then verse 12, he urges others to follow suit, to imitate him. Imitation in the best sense of the word. This is why he shares his life with others. This is why he engages. Now, human beings, we are social creatures. Some of us less than others, but generally we are. We are influential and influenced creatures too. It's true. I mean, they say you are what you eat. Well, you are who you imitate too. So who do you spend time with? What you read, watch, listen, what Facebook feeds you follow, it all influences you. Something I thought of is you kind of see this with pets. There's a scene at the start of that old movie, 101 Dalmatians, where there's people walking down the street and they look like their pets. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. People start to look like their dog. It's like people get a dog and then without realising it, they actually start to become their dog. They even get the same haircut. Well, how much more with people, with our friends? We are who we are influenced by. And how much more with the gospel? It's not about becoming that person's personality. You can be a different person. But as you follow Jesus, as you submit yourself to his word in the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit gets to work on your character, shaping your character. And as you live that out, not perfectly, we're not a perfect church, by the way, we're not perfect people, but as you live that out with integrity and honesty at church, in life groups during the week, in your neighbourhood, at work, It commends the gospel, and it can be a gospel-engaging influence. Now, when we start talking about engaging with those who do not know Jesus, we need to also mention that it might not go well. You might actually end up suffering. You might end up being butting up against a brick wall. The Apostle Peter, you can read his letter later on in your own time. We won't look at it this morning. But he's all about this kind of thing. He's all about being a Christian engager with the people around you, but then the suffering that that brings. Have a look at chapter 3 of 1 Peter later today if you get the chance. But this is the principle. Paul engages with others as he lives out the gospel and influences them to live it out too. So what am I going on about this morning? I feel like we've kind of dug in deep. As we think about our vision for 2020, we want to engage relationally, not just to be friendly, making sure that Charles Weston School likes us, lets us keep meeting here, paying rent, or so that our reputation on our street is good. It is those things, but it's more than that. It's about the gospel itself. It's engaging relationally in the hope that other people that we engage with will hear the gospel from us, but also see the gospel in our lives and even learn to imitate us as they trust in Jesus himself. Now, one of our number, I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. Actually, I don't think he's here this morning, so that makes it even better. He actually became a Christian in this way. He became a Christian as a 20-something adult. He shared his story with me that what led him to Christ was the lives of Christians who went out of their way to engage with him. They shared the gospel with him. That's what saved him. But they lovingly shared their lives with him. And through that, he discovered Jesus through the lived gospel. We want to be a shining light in the Molonglo of love that goes out and engages with others so that they might know the same love of Jesus and see it in our lives. But what's going to motivate us to do this, though? Firstly, remember Jesus as he looked out on the crowds. In Matthew 9, verse 36, Jesus looked out at the lost, and what did he feel? Compassion. It grieves me that I'm not always like Jesus. Too often I look at the crowds, or that car next to me, or the person in line in front of me, and I just feel annoyed. Or I just feel nothing. I don't have that same compassion that Jesus had all the time. So I pray and I ask that you might pray for our church and for your own life that we would have that same love and compassion that pushes us to go. But secondly, this is urgent, right? Alan read out chapter 1, verse 10 before. God's wrath is real. Judgment is real and it is coming, and only Jesus can rescue. Jesus alone rescues us from the coming wrath. You know, the comfort of life in Canberra, if you've just moved to Canberra, you'll notice it's a pretty comfortable place to live, but that can be a spiritual sedative. It can lull us into this sleepy state where we lose touch of the spiritual realities around us and waiting in the future. So I find engaging with others inconvenient. The thought of going out of my way to relate to strangers is overwhelming, but judgment is coming, and rescue is only on offer through Jesus, so I can't be passive. I have to find ways, whatever the cost, to engage with those around me. Now, how can we do this, though? Let me finish with some practical suggestions. Let's start with a good general question to ask yourself. What do I need to do to let others get to know the real me? What do I need to do to let others get to know the real me? Think about your answer. And then do it. That could be a good question to ask yourself. What about some specific stuff? Let me offer some. And I say this, not the Lord. I don't think I'm particularly gifted at relating to others, by the way. So you can take my suggestions with a grain of salt, if you like. And some of you have awesome ideas, and you're doing awesome things. So share them with each other. And here are some ideas. If you are struggling with this, just start ordinary. Think about the people who are already in your life, on your street or at your workplace or at uni or in school, and just take a loving interest in their life. Start ordinary. Why not this year do something bold and proactively invite them around for a cuppa or a barbecue or to go out for coffee in your break at work. It might not always work out, but give it a crack. Just start small. But there are lots of community events in Molonglo that we can plug into. And this is not an overstatement. The Molonglo carols in December each year are the number one engaging opportunity for us as a church in the year. I know I'm getting in earlier than Woolies and Coles with promoting Christmas. Sorry about that. But this is so important that I just want to labour it. We're going to talk about it every Sunday for this whole year. No, not really. But this is such a huge opportunity. And I don't know if you knew that there were 500 unchurched people that came through the carols last December. Over 500. And they all came. And for the few of us who were there, there were so many opportunities to chat to people, more than we could take. On picnic rugs, in the barbecue line, I was standing there waiting for a sausage and there was a guy standing behind me and I kept thinking, should I talk to him, shouldn't I? And I gave it a go and I got into a chat with him. Just one of the many opportunities. We presented the gospel to them. They got an impression of who we were as a church, what we were on about. So please make this a priority. Come to the carols. Get involved. Be ready to engage. That's the top one. If that's all you take away as a practical suggestion, take that. Another one that you can get involved in is our church camp. May 24th to 27th, we're having our first ever Stromlo church camp. This is a great chance for us to do some real relating to each other. We're going to think about this as we think about groups in a couple of weeks' time, but we need to relate, engage with each other as well, don't we, to share life. And why not think about inviting a friend along to the church camp? That'd be a great chance for them to get to know Christians who are just normal, real people. So lock the church camp in your calendar. That's May 24th to 27th, and it's on your outline. Another suggestion. In just 2 months' time, on March 31st, this school is running a community event called Neighbour Day. They want us there. We can run a sausage sizzle. We can get involved in relating to our local community. That's another great opportunity. There's other things. Charles Weston School here, they want us to run programs, parenting courses, ESL groups. There's a Christian Education in Schools group that meets here once a term, always looking for leaders to help. It's just a few hours once a term. You get to teach kids the Bible, and they love it, and it's in a public school. That's a great engaging opportunity. There's other things. There's Molonglo Mingle, the local community organisation. They run groups out of the Stromlo Cottage just down the way here, book groups, gardening groups. They have the Molonglo Markets once a month. Why not go along? There's the Coombs Park run every Saturday morning. There's a social bike ride being run by the Handlebar, I noticed, up on Thursday nights. Get along to that. Let me talk about junior jivers for a moment. This is a fantastic ministry. It's probably has the most unchurched people come through its doors every week in our church life. You can get involved in that at the Hub every Monday morning. You can chat to Kate or Sarah, one of the wonderful women who've been running this. Get involved in your local neighbourhood. Take an interest in your neighbour's life. Start a community barbecue. There's so many opportunities to give it a crack. You can probably think of others maybe better than me. Yet the message from this morning is this, though. As you engage, take an interest in their life and share yours and be yourself, Christian and all, and love as you engage. Well, let's finish. I'm excited about the next 3 weeks. I hope you are too. And the next 2 years. But we trust God in all things. He's in charge. So whatever we say, whatever we plan, it's important for us to finish by handing it all over to Him and trusting Him in all things. So let's pray. Father God, You are God and we are not. And so we just submit to You. Hand it all over to You. Thank You so much for including us in knowing You and being a part of Your glorious plans for this world. And for saving us from that future that awaits those who do not turn to Christ and receive the forgiveness that is freely on offer in Him. We pray for each of us individually in our lives that You would be working in us by Your Spirit this morning to grow our love for those who are lost and to grow our courage in going out and engaging. I pray for those of us who maybe in particular struggle with relating to others, that that we would reach out for help, that we would lean on Your strength, not on our own, as we do that as well. And we pray for us as a church that you would help us to make the most of the myriad community opportunities we have in the place that we are. And to do all that so that people might know Jesus, not just know Stromlo, but know Jesus and come to him. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to... Sam.